Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Post Time with Mike and Mike production.
Wiglet, Jiglet, what a race! Always be Mickey on the outside, always be Mickey!
They're off and it is on!
And betting line has taken the lead!
Choo-choo! Boom! Just like that!
You're tuned in to Harness Racing's fastest 90 minutes post time with Mike and Mike, with co-host Mike Carter.
Believe in the spirit? Do you believe in miracles?
And Mike Bozich.
Smoking Gun, Shaman Hall, production Smoking Gun is flying. Here comes Smoking Gun. I don't know.
That just happened.
Don't touch that dial. You've got Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Mike Carter alongside of Mike Bozich. And Mike, I'll tell you one thing that this show is not sponsored by is hot potatoes. That's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of stories to tell, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But Mike, what a great show that we have for everybody today. We're going to talk some Breeders' Crown eliminations coming up. Of course, they're going to be held at Hoosier Park on Friday and Saturday. We're going to hear from Hoosier Park Director of Racetrack Operations, Rick Moore. He's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to talk about what's going on at Hoosier Park on Friday and Saturday. Then, of course, for the big, big weekend coming up next weekend, which, of course, Mike will be a part of. More on that in a moment. But we're going to talk to Jamie McCumber. She's got some representation of the Breeders' Crown Eliminations. Trainer Marie DuPont, somebody who I'm familiar with that races here quite a bit at Harris Philadelphia, will be joining us. And she's got a very nice three-year-old trotting filly by the name of Checkmate Time that's trying to make the big dance. We'll talk to her in a few minutes. And driver Sam Widger will be joining us on the program as well. And Mike, Sam is a guy that has just been one of the good, steady drivers. Drove in the Chicagoland area for quite some time and now sets up camp at Hoosier Park and is one of the consistently one of the top five drivers there. And he's got some live drives coming up this weekend.
Yeah, he definitely does. I was doing some research on him and a couple of the Breeders' Crown races coming up this weekend. And tell you what, Mike, he's set up to make a couple of finals if the trips work out correctly. And I'll tell you what, Sam Widger's not only a good driver, but a super nice guy. I know the couple of times I've talked with him, the times we were out at Hoosier Park, he was always very cordial with us, always gracious for an interview. And he does a fantastic job. So we're excited to have him on.
Mike, let me get to my story. I've been dying to tell this thing for about an hour and a half now, and I know you tried to pry it out of me, but I said, nope, this has to wait for the show. Okay, so here we go. On the way here this morning, driving down I-95, and for those of you that are not familiar with the I-95 corridor, I live in Maryland. You have to go through Maryland, then you have to go through Delaware, and then you have to go through a few miles of Pennsylvania. Chester pretty much is on the about 8 miles away from the Pennsylvania-Delaware state line, maybe even actually a little closer, probably about 5 miles or so. But anyway, so I'm in the zone. I'm on the highway. I'm cruising maybe about 10 or 15 miles per hour over the speed limit. And that's usually what the standard operating procedure is on I-95, because if you go the speed limit on 95, you're just going to get run over, completely run over. So anyway, I'm doing about 10-15 miles per hour with the speed limit in the zone, light music going, you know, thinking about the show today. And all of a sudden I see the lights of doom in back of me. And I'm thinking to myself, holy moly. So I'm thinking, what a great way to start the day. So I pull over. And the guy gets out, cop goes out. He says, oh, you know, you're going a little fast. I said, yes, sir. He goes, so standard operating procedure, license, registration, proof of insurance. So he goes back into his cop car for about, maybe about 4 or 5 minutes or so. So he's got my license at this point. He comes back, okay, and he says, Michael Bozich, he goes, are you the track announcer at Harris Chester? And I said, well, yes, sir, I am. My dad and I always come to the races. He was a young kid, maybe, you know, in his late 20s, around 30, maybe there. And he says, my dad and I always come to the races. And he goes, we love your announcing. We love the Bet Harris Philadelphia, this and that. He goes, now here's where it gets really good. He goes, and you're the guy that does the post time with Mike and Mike Harness show too, aren't you?
Come on, he did not.
Yes, absolutely he did. And I have a couple of hats in the back seat, and I know he saw one of those hats, and he says, you're the guy that does the post time with Mike and Mike Harness radio show. And I said, yep, I am that guy. And he says, my dad and I listen to your show all the time. Now, it gets even better, okay? So we're talking a little bit about racing. Next thing you know, he says, you guys are going to be at the Breeders' Crown, right? At Hoosier Park. And I said, yep. He goes, my dad and I are going for both days. So I told him, I said, well, listen, officer, I said, you have to make it a point to stop by our broadcast location. I said, we could put you on the air, talk to you a little bit. So, Mike, we're going to have a visitor coming up probably Saturday.
Come on, are you serious?
Is he, you talk about a small world or what? Isn't that great?
Did you get a ticket?
Yes, I did.
All of that, you still got a ticket.
He said, he says, I got it right today. I said, that's fine. I said, so, but anyway, it was really cool. We end up talking for about 10, 15 minutes. And so his favorite driver, by the way, is Vic Kirby. Okay. And Vic Kirby, coincidentally, just picked up his 4,000th driving win at Harrington. So we were sitting there on the side of the road for about 15 minutes talking about harness racing.
Wow. That's incredible. Good story.
And he said he could not catch the show live today because he said he had to work a double. He said, but he will be catching the show on archive a little bit later on today. So listen, for all you guys out there, the Delaware State Troopers and all the state troopers and the police officers across the country, we appreciate what you do. And we'll have one coming up either next Friday or next Saturday live at Hoosier Park. His dad are going to be there. So they'll be paying you a visit, my friend.
Your story is a lot better than mine. That's for sure.
Well, listen, we've got Rick Moore on the line, so you're going to have to hold that story for a little bit.
Sounds good, we'll
just put it this way. Your vocal cords are sounding very good today, Mike. I just want to let you
buddy,
know.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You know, listen, it's no thanks to a hot potato, okay?
We have got Rick Moore coming up from Hoosier Park. He is going to talk to us a little bit about the big dance coming up, not only next week, of course, the Big Breeders' Crown Friday and Saturday, but he's going to talk to us about the eliminations and a lot more. And plus, we've got, Marie DuPont, Sam Widger, Jamie McCumber, and much, much more coming up after this timeout. You've got Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Mm-hmm. Here at The Stable, our mission is to provide fair market for owners of yearlings while giving investors the most informative way to purchase all of or part of a horse. The Stable will cater to all budgets by having an open fractional buying market and a flat rate billing system. At The Stable, we aim to minimize the risk in buying and maximize the benefit of selling. Visit thestable.ca or give Anthony McDonald a call at 519-400-4263. That's 519-400-4263. It's thestable.ca.
Now at BetAmerica, every track is a bonus track. Earn rewards points for every wager you make on every track. We also offer more points for all exotic wagers. And don't forget about our weekly promos. Check our calendar to see how you can earn double points on featured tracks and races. Sign up for BetAmerica today to start earning points and get up to a $400 bonus with our new 200% deposit match. See our website for reward points, state restrictions.
Want to sport the coolest Breeders' Crown gear? Head on over to Hambletonian.com. Get your Breeders' Crown hats, polo shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, shot glasses, and more. They make the perfect gift for the harness racing fan in your life. Visit Hambletonian.com.
Mike Carter, Mike Bozich. Mike Carter, I got to tell you something. I've just gotten probably in the last 2 minutes about 10 instant messages. Is this a true story? Is this a true story?
Oh, 199%
true. I'm telling you guys right now, it was surreal. It was pretty cool. But anyway, Rick Moore is joining us. He is the director of racetrack operations at Hoosier Park. A big weekend coming up, not only next weekend, but this weekend as well. Rick, how are you, my friend?
Well, good, but let me start out by saying that is a hard act or hard story to follow. What they always say on TV, you never want to follow children or animals. Well, throw that story right in there with that. So I can only go downhill from the last few minutes.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. And you know, the hardest instant message that I decided to answer about 20 seconds ago was to my wife. She wants to know how much the ticket was and how fast I was going in the whole nine yards. She didn't even care about the other part of the story about the racing. She just wants to know the other particulars. In any event, Rick, listen, you've got a big couple days coming up. Not only, of course, the Breeders' Crown coming up next weekend, but you've got the eliminations. The box was very healthy, over 160 horses. Certainly have to be pleased about that.
Yeah, we get kind of two bites at the apple, huh? Seeing these horses this weekend and then coming back for the finals next weekend. You know, we're thrilled, you know, to see these. I was just paging through the Friday inside of these programs a few minutes ago. To see the horses with, you know, $1 million, $2 million, several of them with $2 million on their cards. It's just all here at Hoosier Park at one time. What a gratifying feeling.
Now, Rick, I was out there for the Hoosier Pacing Derby night, and I'll tell you what, it was really marketed well as the Breeders' Crown preview. You guys had a ton of these horses come out for the Centaur Trotting Classic at a big stakes-laden program. What is it like to bring all these horses to your racetrack and your facility on more than one occasion? It's one thing to get them out there, you know, for a big stakes race, but you've seen some of these horses three or four times this year.
Well, first of all, it's a privilege to have these horses because – you know, we know there's a lot of big purses around North America, and they have their choice as to where they want to go. And we've been fortunate that we've really been able to establish our stakes schedule now, where people actually really look forward to coming to Hoosier Park. We think we treat them really well. We love harness racing here. It's a very big deal to us. And, you know, you mentioned the Hoosier Park Pacing Derby, the Centaur Trot. You know, these have become staples now on the – I call it the fall stakes schedule. And, you know, now we see the very best showing up for those races. And, of course, now with the Breeders' Crown, that's just the cherry on the sundae.
Rick Moore from Hoosier Park joining us. Rick, let's talk a little bit from a management point of view. You know, I know that, you know, it has to be kind of tough and exciting at the same time, stressful maybe in some other ways, behind the scenes of putting an event like this together. Can you give us a little bit of an idea, a little bit of perspective from a management point of view of this gargantuan task of putting this thing together?
Yeah, I can. That's a great question. You know, we were just talking the other day, and someone actually threw up a photo on a presentation we had, and it was a photo from a year ago, with all of us in the room just getting started, and it seems like that was just a week ago, and it's the last year has gone by so quickly. We've actually got 23 individual committees formed to make sure that every aspect of Breeders' Crown Weekend, that nothing falls through the crack. I mean, whether it's, you know, food service, or it's parking, whether it's a EVS, you know, housekeeping, backside operations. Just, you know, we have 23 committees because this is a very big deal to us. You know, first time in three decades that the Breeders' Crown has been in the Midwest, and the first time ever on Indiana soil. So it is a very, very big deal to us. We've got a great team that has worked relentlessly to make sure that this is a Breeders' Crown that people that come here will remember. And our goal is to have them leaving wanting for more. So, in other words, we want them leaving and saying, we want the Breeders' Crown to return to Hoosier Park.
Now, Rick, obviously you guys have a lot of very special promotions going on coming up next weekend. But I'll tell you what, the week leading up to the Breeders' Crown, and in fact, you guys have done some work with the school districts in your area, which I thought was pretty cool as well.
Yeah, we've got almost every night next week, we've got something going on. You mentioned the what we call the Artrageous online art auction, where you know, the Anderson Community Schools have gotten involved in creating some beautiful artwork. And we now have an online auction for that artwork, and I will tell you, some of it is just outstanding. And the proceeds from that auction for those art pieces of art are going to go to our four official charities, which are the Standard Bred Retirement Foundation, the Harness Horse Youth Foundation, our local Animal Protection League, and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption. So the proceeds are going to worthy causes, and it's nice to get the kids involved and have them be part of Breeders' Crown Week. And and they've done a great job with the art. They really have.
Rick, let's take a look at this from a handicapping point of view now. A lot of people obviously eye the Breeders' Crown events and these races, from a money-making point of view, trying to make a couple of bucks at the windows. Do you have any advice maybe for some people that really aren't too familiar with Hoosier Park that are going to be wagering on Hoosier Park for maybe the first or second time?
Well, the thing I would advise them is this is a – we have a very long stretch here at Hoosier Park, and it's the horses who have been on the big ovals, the mile of the 7/8 ovals seem to do very well here. And horses come here for the first time or maybe have been racing primarily on 5/8 tracks seem to have a tougher time in the stretch here. So I would look for horses that have been competing primarily on, 7/8 to mile ovals. And I'd give them a little bit of an edge here.
Now, Rick, obviously, like we talked about before, a lot of fun things going on. You guys have 23 committees, which is absolutely unheard of in a lot of places. But it's fantastic to see you guys put on a show. I know we've been out there a couple of times, and you guys do an absolutely fantastic job. And I'll tell you what, one place I can't wait to be next weekend is at Hoosier Park.
Yeah, it's the place to be. I mean, it's going to be nice to, the spotlight of harness racing is going to be on Hoosier Park, and we can't wait to have you guys out here again. Really appreciate you coming out for our big event. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have besides the indoor seating areas, the clubhouse, the grandstand, our betting carrels, we're going to have a VIP party tent that's going to seat 800 people. We're going to have entertainment. It's just going to be the place to be, and it's going to be fun. We're going to make this a lot of fun. Besides being a great weekend for harness racing, it's going to be a great weekend for socializing and for having a really good time.
All right, Rick. Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us. And listen, we'll see you out there next week for a full slate of live harness racing action as the Breeders' Crown invades Hoosier Park for the very first time.
Mike and Mike, thank you so much for having me on this morning, and I certainly look forward to seeing you next weekend.
All right, that was Rick Moore, the Director of Racing Operations out at Hoosier Park. And Mike, I'll tell you, it's really exciting to hear what they have going on with all their committees, making sure no stone is left unturned. And it looks like we're ready for a great weekend of live harness racing action at the Indiana 7/8 track.
Yeah, they're doing a fantastic job. And I'll tell you what, even from a media point of view, I mean, it seems like we're getting an email from somebody from Hoosier Park on a daily basis, just kind of updating us on things and letting us know where we're going to be and with media passes and media credentials. And, that's why I asked him that question, Mike, because what a gargantuan task. I don't think a lot of people realize all the behind-the-scenes work that goes on of putting an event like this together. And I mean, just so many wheels in motion. And then you kind of have to pray for good weather. And obviously that's something that we can't control, but we're hoping for fantastic weather next weekend. Mike, make it happen, my friend. Make it happen.
Yeah. Listen, do you play chess?
I do play chess.
Well, there you go. Well, we're going to talk some checkmate. Well, maybe not chess, but we're going to talk checkmate time coming up here in just a couple of minutes as Marie DuPont is going to join the show. And listen, Marie pretty well. She raced at Harris Philadelphia. And I'll tell you what, have you seen this horse a couple of times?
This is a very nice horse. And I'll tell you what, she may give you some value at the windows. I'll tell you what, this horse has got a lot of talent and I think is going to turn some heads come Breeders' Crown Eliminations and Breeders' Crown. We'll talk to Marie DuPont on the flip side of this timeout. You've got Post Time with Mike and Mike presented by Bet America.
Join Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment as racing resumes on Friday, September 8th for two weekends of live harness racing action. Then Thoroughbred Racing begins on Friday, October 6th, 2017 and runs through November 11th, 2017. Then harness racing will resume on Friday, November 17th and run through the end of the year. For more information, simulcast schedule and more, visit PlayMeadowlands.com.
New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. Retrain, rehab, rehome.
New Vocations focuses on adoption as the optimal solution for the large numbers of horses that leave the track each year. The program provides rehabilitation and transitional training to prepare the horses for a productive life beyond racing. Each horse is evaluated for temperament, soundness, and suitability to help ensure a successful adoptive match. New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program, celebrating 25 years and over 6,000 horses placed.
Learn more at newvocations.org.
The Downs at Mohegan Sun Pocono is fast and phenomenal. Fall racing is here. We race Mondays at 4:30, Tuesdays and Saturdays at 6:30, and Sundays at 7:30. The Ghost and Poltergeist Pace is coming up. Spooky Gray Pacers and a Halloween Spooktacular on October 31st. Sponsored by the Harness Racing Museum and Hall of Fame. Children in costumes are welcome. Stop by the museum gift shop in the racing lobby.
The Downs at Mohegan Sun Pocono.
Are you interested in learning more about owning standardbred racehorses? Do you want to experience the excitement of driving a standardbred? Owning a racehorse is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and not as difficult as you may think. The United States Trotting Association wants to help make your ownership dreams a reality. Contact a member of the Ownership Concierge team by email at owners@ustrotting.com or by calling 877-800-8782, extension 5555.
We're back on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Mike Bozich along with Mike Carter. Coming up, Sam Widger will be joining us towards the top of the hour. We're going to talk about some of his drives in the Breeders' Crown Elimination coming up this weekend at Hoosier Park. Plus, Jamie McCumber will be joining us as well. She's got three representatives of her stable that will do battle in Breeders' Crown Elimination competition coming up over the weekend. But first, it's trainer Marie DuPont making her Post Time with Mike and Mike debut. Hello, Marie. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Now, listen, we certainly appreciate you joining us, and we're going to talk a little bit about Checkmate Time, a trotting filly that I'm certainly high on. But since it's your first time, I guess we should talk a little bit about you. How did you get your start in the sport of harness racing? Tell us a little bit about it.
My family and my grandparents are all in harness racing, and my husband's family, so we stuck together and we're in it together.
Now, Marie, talk to us a little bit about Checkmate Time. Dennis Laterza had the horse as a two-year-old and kind of led into the season, and it seemed like Checkmate Time had some braking issues, and now you've got the horse, and I'll tell you what, he is a completely different animal, that's for sure. He's won four races so far this year at over $48,000. Talk to us a little bit about Checkmate Time and what you had to do to kind of correct his braking issues.
Well, she had a few issues. She had the braking, and then she was bleeding. So my husband was very good with trotters. He got her situated so she would stop braking, and then we got the bleeding issue worked out, and hopefully that's what make her going to do good.
Marie, you guys are in action on Friday night, race number 7. You've got 8 other competitors to worry about in this 3-year-old filly elimination. And looking at some of the other horses in this race, you've got Dream Together, who's the leading money earner of the group, starting from the outside. You've got Oka Swanstead with Ice Attraction. Of course, you've got Fine Tune Lady, a horse that we saw race quite a bit here at Harris, Philadelphia. How do you see this race unfolding? Have you had a chance to take a look at it yet?
Yes, we have.
What do you think?
The ones inside leave pretty good. It's only an elimination. We only got one to beat. We're just going to try to come out of there and try to just hopefully get into the final, and then maybe next week will be a different story.
Now, the one thing about Checkmate Time, Marie, is the fact that she has the ability to really flash some early speed. And in her last start at Pocono, she showed a big ability to kind of sit back off the pace, was parked out to the first quarter, and then came flying home late. What makes her so versatile?
Well, she wasn't like that before. She came down to settle down in the parade. She used to be a polar, and now my husband at least can control her, put her in a hole or take her out, and she's very controllable, and I think this is a huge, huge thing for her now.
Marie, at what point did you guys realize that you were headed to the Breeders' Crown?
When we got the issue of bleeding and the last two start, actually the last start in the mud at the Poconos, we made our mind up.
All right, she's 12-1 in the morning line. Checkmate time, race 7, Friday night. Marie, one final question before we let you go. What would it mean to you guys to win a Breeders' Crown?
It would mean a lot for this owner, Mr. Dobbins. He's put a lot of money and time into this. He breeds his own, has two farms, and this wouldn't be for him.
All right. Well, Marie, listen, we certainly appreciate you joining us. I know everybody here at Harris Philly will be watching. Best of luck to you guys at Hoosier Park come Friday. And, hey, if you make the finals, obviously best of luck to you in the finals.
Thank you very much, Mike. And thanks for having me.
All right. That was Marie DuPont, trainer of Checkmate Time. And, you know, Mike, it's good to see some of these, you know, some of these people that don't always get a chance. I mean, you know, we've had the Ron Burks and the Jimmy Tactors and a lot of these guys that, you know, seem to have, you know, horses there time in and time out and always have horses in big races. But when you get, you know, somebody like this that maybe doesn't get that opportunity very often, it's certainly good to see. And I think it's good for the game.
Yeah, definitely. You see a lot of these small stable stories kind of break out in the Breeders' Crown, Mike, and we were able to uncover a couple of them last year. And I know Jessica Otten and I were already talking about doing some of the features that are coming up with the Breeders' Crown, kind of like we did last year, Mike. And we had a lot of fun at Jimmy Tactor's farm. And if I remember correctly, we got to sit and talk with him for almost 2 hours, and it was just an incredible, incredible experience.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was great to be on their farm and great to be on Jimmy Tactor's farm. And, you know, one of the great things about Jimmy Tactor, you know, we give him a post time with Mike and Mike hat. And he actually liked the hat. He loved the quality of the hat for some reason. You know, he says, people give me hats and I won't wear them unless they're good. He said, I got to tell you, it was a good quality hat. And he put his on. And, of course, we had a, you know, we took some pictures with Always Be Mickey. That was a real great time. And I know Jessica just had a blast there. You could tell she was in heaven.
You know, one thing about it, Mike, before we go to commercial break, is she had a blast. And then when I remember when Jimmy handed her the lead rope of Always Be Mickey, she about had a heart attack right there in the barn. Well, Mike, coming up this weekend, we're also going to see the big mare, Hannelore Hanover, Mike. And I'll tell you what, Hanover Shoe Farms is a fantastic little breeding operation. And Hannelore Hanover is the world's fastest female trotter, who recently set a new standard of 149.2 at Lexington's Red Mile. And Hanover Shoe Farms is the all-time breeder of both Hambletonian champions with 11 and Breeders' Crown champions with 23 and $15.4 million. I'll tell you what, Hanover Shoe Farms is a proven breeder in Breeders' Crown champions.
Embroidery Unlimited is a premier provider of quality embroidery, screen printing, and promotional products. Our commitment to quality and pride in our work is second to none. We focus on quality and customer service. For all of your stable or business needs, Embroidery Unlimited is the number one provider in harness racing. Give Jim Winsky a call at 508-485-5522. That's 508-485-5522. Or visit them on the internet at embroideryunl.com. That's embroideryunl.com. Embroidery Unlimited.
Want to sport the coolest Breeders' Crown gear? Head on over to Hambletonian.com. Get your Breeders' Crown hats, polo shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, shot glasses, and more. They make the perfect gift for the harness racing fan in your life. Visit Hambletonian.com.
Join Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment as racing resumes on Friday, September 8th for 2 weekends of live harness racing action. Then Thoroughbred Racing begins on Friday, October 6th, 2017 and runs through November 11th, 2017. Then harness racing will resume on Friday, November 17th and run through the end of the year. For more information, simulcast schedule and more, visit PlayMeadowlands.com.
We're back on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America.
Mike, do you know who did this song?
I'm sorry about that, buddy.
Listen, we still have some technical snafus. When I I meant wait for this.
Well, that's fine. But do you know who did that song?
No, I don't, actually.
That's way before your time. Actually, it's way before my time, too. A band by the name of Deep Purple.
Deep Purple.
How about
that? That's interesting.
How about that? You know, that's going back a ways.
My vocal cords are a little purple right now, so we're in good shape.
Well, okay, you know what? I had a chance to tell my story. We've got a few minutes here. We've got Sam Widger and Jamie McCumber in the On Deck Circle. Tell us your story. What happened?
All right, so yesterday, you know, Kate made dinner, you know, it was a good dinner too, pot roast, potatoes, you know, it was a hearty meal. And so I ate a potato and boy, was it hot. Okay. And I'll tell you what, it's so hot, Mike, that it scratched and abrased the esophagus all the way down. And I'll tell you what, it hurts like a son of a gun today. That's for sure.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what, things like that can get a little dangerous, and I know you've got to be going through a lot of pain. But I do have a question. Didn't you realize the potato was hot before you ate it? Or no. You know what? Listen, I've seen you with a plate of food, and it doesn't matter if the thing's scalding hot or not. You're going to tear through it like it's like going through a table like a hurdler. You're just going to go right through it. I know. But didn't you realize it was hot before you ate it?
I blew on it. Does that count for anything?
No, I blew on it.
You know, obviously that doesn't count. Anyways, so I made some people's nights with that story, and that's, you know, it's not as funny as your story, but
I'll tell you what, it's probably not funny because I know something like that could hurt like heck,
yeah.
So listen, we're lucky your beautiful vocal cords are going right along, we're lucky that you're here on the show today.
Francine just sent me a message. She said she asked me if I had an extra room. I don't know what that's all about, but she said something about an extra room. So,
well, you know, listen, I was going to ask you about that. Being I was on the way to do the Post Time with Mike and Mike show, I was going to actually ask you if Post Time with Mike and Mike could pick up that ticket.
Our insurance doesn't cover those things, so
have to talk about that. I'll get a hold of the Post Time with Mike and Mike attorney and see if he could make something happen. Believe it or not, we still do have a show going on, and we're going to talk to Sam Widger coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, Mike, we had a chance to sit down and talk to Jamie McCumber, and she's obviously a local trainer based in Indiana. Her and her husband, Rick McCumber, a fine driver there, kind of like Sam, just a guy that's, you know, pretty much based in Indiana that's always amongst the top five drivers there. And I know it means a lot to her to have some good representation in the Breeders' Crown. She's got three horses, as a matter of fact. They'll be racing the eliminations to the that are going to obviously try to make the final coming up next weekend. We had a chance to sit down with Jamie and talk a little bit about her horses, and let's go to that interview right now. We're back on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by BetAmerica. Mike Bozich along with Mike Carter, and right now we're joined by Jamie McCumber, trainer, one of the leading trainers at Hoosier Park, and Jamie's got three hopefuls that are entered in the Breeders' Crown Eliminations coming up over a two-day period, Friday and Saturday. Jamie, how are you? Thanks for joining us here today.
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jamie, let's first time on the Post Time with Mike and Mike show. And before we talk about the horses that you have entered in the Breeders' Crown coming up this weekend, let's talk a little bit about yourself and your career. How'd you get started in the sport of harness racing? And tell us a little bit about the McCumber operation, if you will.
Oh, sure. I grew up in harness racing. My mom and dad are Tim and Debbie Rucker. So I grew up at Scioto Downs in Ohio. Racing mostly babies, 2 and 3 year olds. We didn't have a lot of claimers, actually never had a claimer. So it's kind of funny how much I like those now. But so I grew up doing it. I swore I was never going to train horses for a career. So I went to Ohio University and got a degree in marketing. And I used that for 4 or 5 years out of school. And then I was best friends with Ronnie Burke, and he twisted my arm and talked me into going back to training horses because I didn't like sitting in the office every day. So he got me back in the barn. And I guess, you know, once you have the bite or you have the blood in it, it really doesn't go anywhere. So after a year or so in the barn, I realized that this is probably what I was going to finish my career out doing.
And of course, not only do you have the horses coming up in the Breeders' Crown, but you guys also race at Hoosier Park, of course, yourself and Rick. How many horses do you have now currently racing?
We've maintained like 30, mostly all summer. You know, it go up 38, 33, 28 here and there. So we're right at 30 right now with the 2 and 3 year olds slowing down.
And I remember, of course, Rick has been driving there pretty much ever since Hoosier Park started and Parimutuel Wagering came to the state of Indiana. And, of course, I'm from Indiana. Grew up a little bit north of you guys, all the way up in Gary next to Chicago. But it wasn't too long of a road, but there was certainly a couple of years there before Expanded Gaming. And now with the advent of Expanded Gaming, guys are only racing at Hoosier Park, where before it was Indiana Downs and Hoosier Park. But certainly the Expanded Gaming has given you guys, I would say, a lot more opportunities and a lot more profitable opportunities.
Oh, it's great racing. With the better opportunities comes better horses. And, you know, the longer the state has been racing, the breeding's got so much better. So the horses are just getting better and better, and the racing's getting better each year. So it's a tough place. But, yeah, it's a good place. You can make a decent living here.
The Breeders' Crown is coming to Hoosier Park, and, of course, we'll be there broadcasting live next weekend. But the first things first, the eliminations over 2 days, Friday and Saturday. And you guys have three representatives. One will be racing on Friday, the 3-year-old filly Pace, Carol Zetam. Now, unfortunately, she does draw post nine, but she has had a lot of success on the racetrack. She's won 7 of 20 times. She's made over $200,000. You guys certainly have to be happy with her.
Very happy. This filly, she's all heart. She gets out there and just gives it her all every time. The one time that she didn't, which was a few starts back, she bled a little bit, so we got her cleaned up and healed up and put her on Lasix, and she came right back in rare form last week in the Sire Stakes final. So I'm really looking forward to racing her.
Let's switch gears to Saturday a little bit. Jamie, you've got two horses racing on Saturday, the first in the fourth. It's one of the open trots, field of six, Crescent Fashion is going for you guys from post three, 2 wins of 14 starts in the 52-1, just under $30,000 in seasonal earnings. But, boy, I'll tell you what, there's some tough competitors in here. We're talking about the likes of Pinkman and J.O. Cruz and Hannelore Hanover and Ilsonio Dream. Tell us a little bit about Crescent Fashion and how you guys got her. Or him, I should say.
Yeah, that's fine. Our owners bought him to stand stud in Indiana. So the only thing they asked me to do is put a new lifetime mark on him. Thankfully, that came with our very first start with him, because since then he has been in really, really tough. You know, he's not just your 1-2-3-4 trotter. He's not easy. He's not easy on himself. He's got everything against him. He wants to do it. He wants to be fast. So, unfortunately, everything has to go in his favor for things to come out. But we thought it would be good for his resume if he could go beat a couple good horses.
And that's what
our hopes are.
And then, Jamie, in the 14th and final on that Saturday, you guys will be battling once again with some of the best 3-year-olds of the nation when you talk about the likes of Fear the Dragon and Funkin' Waffles, who was just lights out last start. But you guys sent Beckham Zetam. Once again, didn't really get a benefit of a post-draw, but you guys with Beckham Zetam have won 10 of 17, has had a great season, over $233,000. Tell us a little bit about Beckham Zetam and his chances.
You know, Beckham was really green when we started with him this year. So he only had a few starts last year. So it was all about management with him, was managing his 3-year-old season. So I guess what we've done is just tried to keep him sharp and point him towards this race. So he's only been mainly racing Sire Stakes races, hopefully getting, you know, more and more experience each time and faster each time. So I think he's got the advantage of hometown track. And he's got the advantage that he hasn't shipped all over the country all summer. So let's just hope that he's there with him.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you guys are looking forward to these races. How has it been? Has there been a lot of nerves in the McCumber household coming up to the Breeders' Crown Eliminations, or is it just business as usual?
Business as usual. Ricky has a great head on his shoulders and sense for staying really calm, and he tries to roll that over on me. So fortunately, I've got 27 other horses besides those three that are in the Breeders' Crown. And I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, if you cannot hear them, behind me. So, you know, it's kind of just business as usual. Otherwise, nothing would get done, and everything would be a bit of a cluster. So we just took it one day at a time, and they all three trained, you know, just okay this week. I wish I could say it was the best they've ever trained. But so that has me more stressed out than, you know, going into the Breeders' Crown. Let's just hope for a good, safe night.
Well, one final question before we let you go, and you guys do have home court advantage on your side. What would it mean to you guys to win a Breeders' Crown?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? I think I haven't asked Ricky really, but, you know, like for me, it's amazing that we're even in there. This is the first summer that we've went on our own for a whole year. Usually we just go on our own for a few months in the winter. And so just to have this caliber of horses and to be in the Breeders' Crown, I think is great. But you don't know how much I'd love to win it for my owners. They've been so supportive and so awesome and everything. I can't even think of other words right now, but I would love to do good for them.
Jamie McCumber, we appreciate you joining us. Best of luck to you guys in Breeders' Crown 2017.
Thank you so much for calling. I'm excited to be on Mike and Mike.
Here at the stable, our mission is to provide fair market for owners of yearlings while giving investors the most informative way to purchase all of or part of a horse. The stable will cater to all budgets by having an open fractional buying market and a flat rate billing system. At the stable, we aim to minimize the risk in buying and maximize the benefit of selling. Visit thestable.ca or give Anthony McDonald a call at 519-400-4263. That's 519-400-4263. It's thestable.ca.
We're back on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Mike Bozich along with Mike Carter. And right now, we're joined by Sam Widger, driver extraordinaire. Sam, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
All right. Listen, well, we certainly appreciate you joining us. And I know you've got a couple of drives coming up for the Breeders' Crown Eliminations coming up between the 2 days, Friday and Saturday, all in preparation for the big dance coming up next week. But, Sam, you are making... as everybody was today, making their post time with Mike and Mike debuts. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in the industry.
Well, actually, it's just kind of a Cinderella story. I dropped out of college because I'm not good at learning from a book and went to work for my dad. He was helping build a couple barns up in Quad Cities and met a few trainers and went to work for them and just kind of worked my way up and, you know, struggled for many years and stayed at it and just kind of, it just kind of fell together.
Now, Sam, obviously you drive one of the 2-year-old fillies coming up in the Breeders' Crown this weekend. It's the second elimination for 2-year-old filly trotters in Miss Naughtiest Hill, who's 10-1 on the morning line for trainer Jeff Edwards. And obviously you hadn't had a whole lot of chance to see this horse until he came to Hoosier Park on October the 12th, where she raced extremely well with you driving. Talk to us a little bit about that effort and just what you think of her chances coming up in the Breeders' Crown.
Well, yeah, I didn't know anything about it really, just other than talking to Jeff a little bit before the race. And he just told me a little bit about her. And, gosh, I just went out there. She felt good. She had her game face on and I set her up on the gate, and she wanted to go up out of there. And, you know, I jump up on a horse the first time, and they want to do that. Well, I'll send them on out of there and just see what they got. And she raced really well. She was strong to the wire, and I believe paced a mile or trotted a mile in 56.
Obviously, the big elephant in the room in that race, the two-year-old filly trot elimination, is you're matched up against Manchego. Obviously, she's undefeated, and she's kind of been the talk of this division, the talk of the town. She's been right there in the top 10 throughout in the Breeders' Crown Hambletonian Society poll. What do you strive? And I know you don't want to tip your hand because I know a lot of drivers don't like to do that. But how do you kind of see this race unfolding with Manchego two doors down? You're right.
Well, I mean, you know, like you say, gosh, I'll just go into it with a positive mental attitude like I do, you know, being realistic. That's definitely a nice filly. And, you know, I guess that's why we race them, because you never know what's going to happen. I'll just kind of play it by ear behind the gate, see what unfolds out of the gate. And that's a nice filly. She's probably the best one. She's supposed to win. And I wish her the best. And I just hope to do well for Jeff, you know.
Let's talk a little bit, and I know this is not a Breeders' Crown race, but earlier that night, the card, the Friday night elimination card, is going to start with an invitational, and you're driving a horse by the name of Evergreen Elite, who's 7-1 on the board, and obviously a couple of these horses that are facing Evergreen Elite, you've seen likes of Night Pro, Uncompromising, Z-Tam, some of these horses. Can you tell us anything about Evergreen Elite in the first?
He's a nice horse. He's not a real big horse. He's gritty. He likes his job. Sometimes he's a bit of an overachiever, but he raced really well last time. They got over there on time. I was able to keep him covered up, you know, till the stretch, and he exploded down the stretch, and that seemed to be his kind of trip. He's good on the front too, but you know, one thing about Hoosier Park is they can win from off the pace there too. It's a good front end track, but it also you can win off the pace there. And you're right. There's some good horses in there, and it just kind of depends on the trip, I think, and what works out. And we'll just give him our best.
Now, Sam, obviously, you hit the nail right on the head when you were talking about closers, and that actually brings me into Manhattan Beach, who you drive in a Breeders' Crown Elimination. Manhattan Beach kind of flopped in the Dan Patchett Hoosier Park, but really came back strongly in the Hoosier Pacing Derby before going to Lexington and racing in the Alaraj, which was an extremely tough race, but you'll see some of those horses again here. Talk to us a little bit about Manhattan Beach, kind of a sluggish beginning to the year, but has really come on strong.
Yeah, he really is starting to come into his own. He had an excuse in the Alaraj down to Lexington. He was sick. I guess he scoped full of stuff. So he did have an excuse down there in the couple races prior to that. That Hoosier, he definitely he raced really well. Junior, talking to Junior Haynes, he wasn't real sound when he got him back, you know, earlier in the year, and just kept working on him, and he finally found the spot. And so he's starting to come into his own, and I believe he's got the, what, five hole, four or five in the six horse field. So, we're hopeful about him too. You just never know.
Sam, in events like this, you've got a lot of the bigger drivers that come out, and a lot of the bigger trainers that come out, obviously going for the big money and the big purses. You've got guys like Tim Tietrich, Anik Shingra, Dave Miller, and those sorts from the East Coast. They come from all over the place. How would you rate? Do you think there's any home court advantage? Obviously, Hoosier Park's your home track. Would you say there's a little home court advantage with you driving there on a regular basis?
Well, I mean, sure, I'd like to think that. You know, them other guys that are coming in, very talented. They do a lot of traveling, you know, so they jump from track to track, and they're used to that. So, you know, and the horses they're coming in with, they've been driving. So, you know, they're coming in prepared like that too. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I feel comfortable about driving at Hoosier Park because I am there all the time, and we'll just see if we can't work a little magic.
All right. Well, listen, Sam, we certainly appreciate you joining us. Best of luck to you. What would it mean to you to win a Breeders' Crown?
Well, you know, it would be great. You know, it would be great. I'm sure everybody says that because it is a very prestigious race. It's great that Hoosier Park was able to host it this year. I know they're real excited about it. And just the Indiana people, you know, they're good down home people, just real people. And for them kind of races to come in, it's pretty special to them. And so, you know, for maybe one of their hometown guys to win one, that would be pretty exciting. Yeah. Look forward to it.
All right, Sam. Well, we appreciate you joining us, my friend. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
All right. That was Sam Widger, another making his post time with Mike and Mike debut. Mike and, you know, another guy that, like we talked about, I mean, you know, you've got guys like Teacherk and you've got guys, you know, like Dave Miller and Yannick Shingraw that are a mainstay, a staple to a lot of these big races, and rightfully so, because, I mean, they're the best in the world at what they do. But, you know, you've got Sam Widger, a guy that basically calls Hoosier Park his home, races primarily at one racetrack, and, you know, has been at the top five drivers there for as long as I can remember. And once again, a guy that is really looking forward to a Breeders' Crown breakthrough. And just, you know, it'd be nice to see some of these, you know, guys like Sam connect in these big races.
You know, Mike, it's kind of interesting you say that, because I tell you what, some of these hometown guys have proven, even in thoroughbred races, to be the kind of go-to guys for these horses, or for some of these horses, because, you know, a lot of the Yannick Shingraws, the David Millers, they already have drives coming into these races. I specifically remember a couple years ago, and I know this is a thoroughbred situation at Colonial Downs, but Mike, Todd Pletcher, his rider fell off two races before it. He put Horacio Caramanos on, who's a local, for those of you who follow the Maryland, the Maryland circuit, so to speak. He's one of the top leading riders out there. And Mike, he came into the Virginia Derby for $500,000 and won with Red Giant at 50-1. So I'll tell you what, you know, these guys, these hometown guys who know the track, I think there's a little bit of home field advantage, and it'll be interesting to see what they can do.
Well, certainly. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to take a look at some of these Breeder Crown elimination races that will go on at Hoosier Park over the span of 2 days, and we'll kind of set the table for that on our Around the Horn segment on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by BetAmerica.
Now at BetAmerica, every track is a bonus track. Earn rewards points for every wager you make on every track. We also offer more points for all exotic wagers. And don't forget about our weekly promos. Check our calendar to see how you can earn double points on featured tracks and races. Sign up for BetAmerica today to start earning points and get up to a $400 bonus with our new 200% deposit match. See our website for reward point state restrictions.
Are you interested in learning more about owning standardbred racehorses? Do you want to experience the excitement of driving a standardbred? Owning a racehorse is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and not as difficult as you may think. The United States Trotting Association wants to help make your ownership dreams a reality. Contact a member of the Ownership Concierge team by email at owners@ustrotting.com or by calling 877-800-8782, extension 5555.
The Downs at Mohegan Sun Pocono is fast and phenomenal. Fall racing is here. We race Mondays at 4:30, Tuesdays and Saturdays at 6:30, and Sundays at 7:30. The Ghost and Poltergeist Pace is coming up. Spooky Gray Pacers and a Halloween Spooktacular on October 31st.
sponsored by the Harness Racing Museum and Hall of Fame. Children in costumes are welcome. Stop by the museum gift shop in the racing lobby.
The Downs at Mohegan Sun Pocono.
Around the horn is the easiest way, the better way, and that is how we will go. Anything more? Are you frightened to go around the horn, Mr. Christian? Are you a coward too, sir?
Baby, where the action is.
The action coming up this weekend is at Hoosier Park Racing and Casino. Mike Bozich, the Breeders' Crown Eliminations take place on Friday night and a Saturday night, a big two nights of racing. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun, Mike. We are live from Hoosier Park in just a couple of weeks, and it should be some fun.
Yeah, we don't have a time yet, do we? We haven't decided on a time yet, have we?
I've actually got the press release. It's in your box. It's just waiting approval.
Okay, very good. So anyway, we're going to be on the air Friday and Saturday. There will be no show next Thursday. So once again, no show next Thursday. But, of course, we'll be on the air for 3 hours on Friday and Saturday live from Hoosier Park as we cover the big Breeders' Crown races coming up on Friday and Saturday. The eliminations are coming up this Friday and Saturday here at Hoosier Park, and we're going to start by taking a quick look at them as we go around the horn. The first elimination of the Mares Open on Friday, race number two, a field of six in the first of two eliminations. And I'll tell you what, a lot of the old regular suspects are in here. Mr. Carter, you've got Lady Shadow looking to get back into form. Blue Moon Stride, Darlin' on the Beach, it's good to see her back. Of course, Pure Country, a great, great field in that first elimination.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is a fantastic field. Pure Country is trying to get back into form here, Mike, and I'm a little bit surprised at the morning line. 9-2 seems a little bit low on Pure Country, who hasn't been racing extremely great, was fifth in the Alaraj at Lexington. One horse I'm kind of interested about, though, Mike, is the 3 Wind Sun Glory for trainer Ron Burke. Driver Trace Tietrich drives this horse. He's been racing at Hoosier Park and racing extremely well. And I think if you're looking for a little bit of value play in an elimination, Winsome Glory could potentially be there.
All right, the second elimination is race number three, and obviously Nike Franco is going to be the favorite here. She has definitely caught fire here this season. She's made over $344,000, and she draws the pylons for driver Tim Tietrich. She is going to be very tough to beat, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. She actually was my selection in the Hannah contest, Mike, from the rail. LA Delight joins this group after finishing fourth against Preferred Company at Mohawk, has been racing north of the border. Medusa, Mike, is a horse that we saw at Yonkers, I believe it was, the start of the year, and was really dominating and has kind of fallen off the handle just a little bit. And then another horse you can never watch it or never count out is the 7, Call Me Queen Bee.
Race four is the lone elimination for the 3-year-old Philly Pace, going for a purse of $25,000. We talked a little bit with Jamie McCumber about Carol Z-Tam. Obviously, this horse is going to need a lot of racing luck out there from post nine, but you've got some good ones in here. And this is a division, Mike, that has really been topsy-turvy. I mean, Agent Q had her moment in the sun. She kind of dulled a little bit. Then, of course, we saw the great performances by Caviar Alley. Blazing Britches is one 10 of 13. Idyllic Beach has been there slugging it out with these gals throughout the season. This is really going to be a great, great race as all of these horses look to lock horns here.
You know, Mike, it's going to be an interesting elimination. It's going to be an even more interesting final. I think Blazin' Britches has got the best shot here in the elimination, drawing post number 4. And Blazin' Britches is on her home track, Mike. She races extremely well at Hoosier Park and had won 2 straight races before finishing 2nd in the Jughead to Caviar Alley and then 4th in, fourth at Lexington. Agent Q draws post number 3, but Mike, Caviar Alley is kind of the question mark horse. Since winning the Jughead final, she's won the Bluegrass, was 2nd, only missing 2 lengths in her last start to Idyllic Beach. And these ladies have all been kind of just trading punches back and forth. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the elimination.
2-year-old races in the first of two eliminations, race five on Friday night at Hoosier Park. And obviously you have to think, Mike, that this race goes around number five, Rainbow Room. But she hasn't – I don't think she's got the stranglehold on this division as she had earlier in the year.
You know, Rainbow Room is kind of an interesting horse. I think 2-1 on the morning line is a little bit too low, if you ask me, considering this horse is coming off two straight losses on the lead, both of them being at Lexington. When myself and Ayers Ratliff were at Hoosier Park back on Hoosier Pacing Derby night, Rainbow Room won the Kentuckiana and came from off the pace to do it on a night that Mike was, if you remember, was a big time speed favoring racetrack. Since then, she showed a lot of early contentious early speed, and my only concern here is that if she goes out too quickly, she's going to tire late.
The second division of the two-year-old filly eliminations for the Pacers is race number six at Hoosier Park, and obviously this race goes through You Are My Candy Girl, but a horse that I am pretty familiar with, Rain on Me, has just been outstanding here at Harris Philadelphia. Obviously, the competition level is going to go up for her, though.
Yeah, Mike, and I accidentally flipped her race seven. But the three, You Are My Candy Girl, is definitely going to be the horse to beat. Another horse I like in here, Mike, has been racing north of the border, is the one Pueblo Blue Chip. Dave Maneri brings this one down. Driver Jody Jameson comes down to drive. Has been hitting the board in the last couple of starts. It is not been really the best horse, but has shown that she can compete against stakes caliber horses. I think Pueblo Blue Chip is the one to possibly upset the field from the rail at Hoosier Park coming up on Friday.
The lone elimination for the three-year-old filly Trotters is race seven, and we had a chance to talk to trainer Marie DuPont. Checkmate Time is a horse that really, really has looked very, very good. Obviously, once again, the competition level is going to rise for her, but, you know, this is a wide-open race. I mean, Ice Attraction, Overdraft Volo, Fine Tune Lady, Dream Together have all kind of had their moments in the sun, so to speak, but this is kind of a wide-open race.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I think Overdraft Volo, maybe the price play of the group, is coming off a second-place effort, just missing by two lengths to That's All Money, Mike. And That's All Money is a no-slouch horse, that's for sure. Obviously, another horse in here that is kind of interesting is the 8 Dream Together. Was third in the Kentucky Futurity after winning a elimination of that race. I think 4-1 is a little bit of a dream price on Dream Together.
All right, the Breeders' Crown elimination for two-year-old filly Trotters, first of two eliminations, race number eight. And I'll tell you some familiar names in here. Faya Tosib is a horse that I've seen quite a bit. Seba Yorm's a horse that I've seen. And there's my good buddy Basquia, starting from post eight for the Tactus-Gingra combination. It seems to me that every time I see this horse, she doesn't get the benefit of the draws, but she just keeps on chugging.
Yeah, you know, Basquia is going to be a tough horse. Has won four straight races after finishing second twice, once at Harris Philadelphia against Pennsylvania Sire Stakes Company, and once against, what is TSS out there, by the way?
That is the Stallion Series. That is a leg below that, right? That's like kind of like the New York Excelsior. That's a kind of a level below the Pennsylvania Sire Stakes.
So I would have been a little worried, Mike, after finishing second at the Pennsylvania Sire Stakes and then stepped down in class and missed by 10 lengths against Hey Judy Judy. We'll let you get to Hey Judy Judy in a second because I know you've probably seen this horse. But I'll tell you, Basquia has really bounced back well, won two divisions of the kindergarten, won on Hoosier Pacing Derby night, showed that she liked the racetrack. I think Basquia is going to be tough to beat as well.
Yeah, it was my pick, by the way, that night. And I remember Ayers giving me all kind of grief leading up to the race. And then after the race is over, Ayers changed his tune a little bit. But our good buddy Ayers. Two-year-old filly Trotters up next to the race nine. It is the second elimination in that division. And, boy, obviously Manchego is the elephant in the room. But we talked to Sandwich earlier on. Miss Naughty as Hill gets a good post draw here. Maybe Sam's going to try to put this horse in play a little early. You've got high percentage winner looking for Zelda, and you've got a couple others in here, but boy, Manchego has just been the dominating factor.
Yeah, I completely agree with that statement. I think Manchego is the elephant in the room. Top expectations, Mike, the five, is coming off a second-place effort in the International Stallion Stakes, was second to Nixie Volo, and added Lasix last time out and really responded well to it, Mike. I think if anybody upsets, it's going to be the five top expectations.
All right, let's move on to Saturday, Mike, as we continue this Around the Horn segment. Breeders' Crown eliminations continue at Hoosier Park with a post time of 6:30. All 14 races on Saturday are Breeders' Crown elims, and they start with the two-year-old Colt and Gelding pace, and there are three eliminations of this particular event. And the first elimination, you've got Nutcracker Suite 5-2 from the pylons. This is the plan, the two-year-old by Sunbeat Somewhere, for the Chris Ryder Dave Miller combination at 2-1 on the board. Lost in Time, a horse that I think is pretty interesting, is 4-1, but there's certainly a wide open event there. I know Nutcracker Suite is a horse that is on a lot of people's radars, so we'll see what he can bring to the table. The second elimination is race number two. You've got a good field of six there. Grand Teton, a horse I know that we've been watching in Lexington, has really turned a lot of heads. The morning line favorite there, obviously, is going to be Hayden Hanover, a horse that has really come around as of late. Stay Hungry's 3-1 there in the morning line. That is elimination number two. Elimination number three is race number three on the Hoosier Park card on Saturday. Carpathian Kid is the 2-1 favorite there for Irv Miller and driver Dave Miller. Closing Statement, the Joe Holloway trainee, is a horse that I kind of like. He's got 5 of 10 on the win column, but I'll tell you what, three very competitive eliminations coming up in the two-year-old Colton Gelding pacing division, one that I think is pretty wide open, and I think there's going to be some surprises as to who's going to make the finals here in these three eliminations.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Mike. The first three eliminations obviously kick off the program, and race number one, Lost in Time, is kind of an interesting play. It's coming out of Ohio for trainer Jim Mullenix, and I think, you know, coming up against Nutcracker Sweet and Babes Dig Me to the Inside, I think that, you know, Lost in Time, even though he draws the outside post, Mike, he definitely could provide a little bit of value relief to some of the horse players on elimination night. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see what the favorites do in those first three eliminations.
The Breeders' Crown Open Trot, one of two eliminations, race number four. And I'll tell you what, this is always my favorite kind of group here, because you get these you know, these older veteran horses out there just locking horns, and you've got the fan favorites like JL Cruz. Pinkman is trying to, you know, get back into form, looking for his first win of the year. Of course, Hannelore Hanover's there, and Mambo Lindy, and of course we had a chance to talk to Jamie McCumber, Crescent Fashion. This first elimination, in my opinion, is really wide open. I don't think Hannelore Hanover is going to have his way here.
You know, Hannelore Hanover set a world record of 149-2 at Lexington. It remains to be seen, Mike, what that took out of her. And she's facing the boys instead of going against the females. It's a big step up, obviously. Trainer Chris Brever brings in Il Sogno Dream. And obviously Pinkman draws to the inside, is yet to win a race this season. It'll be interesting to see what that race took out of her and what they'll do going towards the final.
And by the way, and I know we really haven't started talking about the post time with Mike and Mike Awards yet, but I got to tell you, I've already gotten five or six emails about wanting to nominate J.O. Cruz's big win in the Spirit of Massachusetts race at Plain Ridge as the upset of the year. So I just want to let you know that that's already on people's radar, the post there with Mike and Mike Awards. Second elimination for the Breeders' Crown, the Trot, coming up in race number five. Again, a lot of familiar names in here, Mike. Of course, Resolve, who didn't race well at all in the International Trot. Homicide Hunter, Garral Hanover, Marion Miranda, the second place finisher in the International Trot. Once again, a lot of different options here if you're looking to wager.
Yeah, definitely. A horse that kind of jumps off the page here at me, Mike, is the 4 Crazy Wow. Crazy Wow's kind of fallen off the handle over the past couple of starts, but seems to be coming back into form for trainer Ron Burke and a driver Yannick Gingra. Resolve was a big disappointment to me, Mike, in the International Trot. I really expected him to race a lot better. And then, of course, you have Looks Like a Chippendale for trainer Luke Bly towards the inside. And 5-1 morning line, I'll tell you what, that might be worth it as well.
You know, let's break away from this for just a second. Twister B, how impressed were you with that effort at the International Trot?
I was really hoping that they would bring Twister B to the Breeders' Crown after that. I know they extended an invitation, but how about that dominant performance? Was a first over grind the entire way around and then just cruised right on by Resolve. Like, Resolve was standing still, and those guys, I'll tell you what, I think Twister By definitely looked like a champion racehorse that day.
Yeah, no question about it. The Breeders' Crown open first elimination. The Pacers will do battle, and this is one of two eliminations. Again, a solid field of six. What may be low on quantity is certainly high on quality. You've got all the usual suspects in here, Mike. Missile J, Check Six, Rock and Roll World, Market So, Sintra, McWicked. Where do you go here?
You know, this is such a wide open race that it's tough to really go to really peg down any one horse, so to speak. I think I went with Check Six in the Hannah contest, and I went with Check Six because he won the Dan Patch Stakes here at Hoosier Park, another horse that has raced extremely well over the Hoosier Park racing surface. I think Missile J's got a little bit of a shot. But how about McWicked, Mike? Has come back strong since entering the Casey Coleman Barn again. He's won seven starts this year while hitting the board at a pretty reasonable clip and a 148-2 mile. This is a wide open affair.
Yeah, another wide-open affair coming up in that second elimination. Race number seven, you've got the likes of Split the House, Melmera, All Bets Off, Delta Winter, Manhattan Beach, Keystone Velocity. A lot of different ways you can go in that second elimination.
Yeah, definitely. All Bets Off, Mike. How about him? He's really been racing well the last couple of starts and has come through at some pretty big odds. He normally shows up in these races at pretty big odds. I don't think 3-1 is going to be worth a play on All Bets Off, even though I think he'll win. Keystone Velocity is kind of thrown in a couple clunker races, and he's hoping to restart the engine in the Breeders' Crown elimination.
All right, first of three eliminations for the three-year-old Colton Gelding Trotters, a field of six at race number eight at Hoosier Park on Saturday night. And once again, just a lot of different ways you can go. I mean, International Money is right back in here. You've got the Top Flight Angel, who's the slight morning line favorite, Dover Dan Long Tom, some names that we're certainly familiar with. What do you think, Mike?
You know, this is an interesting race, and it kind of brings me back to Hambletonian Day, which we covered live on track. Long Tom is kind of the, you know, whisper in the room, if you ask me. He's won four starts this year with a 152-1 mark and over just under $350,000 made. Tim Tietrich gets the drive for trainer Marcus Melander. I think Long Tom is due for a win against this group. And it's a really compact group. You draw the rail, and I'll tell you what, if the things go Long Tom's way, we could definitely see a little bit of an upsetter.
This second elimination is very, very interesting because I think there's a few names in here that a lot of people may not be too familiar with. Lindy the Great is the slight morning line favorite. Snowstorm Hanover, King on the Hill, Gibbet Gas and Go. We're pretty familiar with that horse, Mike. Of course, that's a VIP Internet a stable horse with trainer John Bootenshain. What say you about this second elimination?
I'll tell you what, if you missed the price on Snowstorm Hanover in the Kentucky Futurity, I think that bus has already checked out and left.
Yeah.
Snowstorm Hanover won at a very big odds, the Kentucky Futurity, and is now 5-2 on the morning line. In a very competitive field of a six, obviously you have Moonshiner Hanover, New Jersey Viking, but I think Snowstorm Hanover, if you miss the bus, it's a little too late for you in this race.
Certainly is. Three-year-old Colton Gelding Trotters in elimination number three in race 10 on Saturday night at Hoosier Park. And again, another wide-open affair, slight morning line favoritism going to a devious man who's pretty much been right there in each and every start that he's had so far in his career. But I'll tell you what, Mike, the longest shot, at least morning line-wise, on the board, Jake, you never, never can throw out a Luke Blaze training.
You know, this is a horse I haven't really seen, Mike and Jake. Maybe you've caught a couple glimpses of this horse, but he likes to hit the board. He's hit the board six times in 10 starts this year. I'll tell you who I'm going with, and that's the Hambletonian would-be winner, But he didn't actually win the Hamiltonian, if you look at the chart. Number two, What the Hill. And What the Hill has been racing pretty well, Mike, since that Hamiltonian effort, obviously, where he was disqualified. I think What the Hill's got a big shot against this group.
All right, two-year-old Colton Gelding Trotters in the first elimination race 11 on Saturday at Hoosier Park. Same old, different day. Jimmy Tack, the trainee, is the slight favorite here at 2-1. Hattrick Abbott, second morning line choice at 5-2. What do you think about this one, my friend?
You know, it's interesting that the two favorites draw post 4 and 5 here towards the outside. It allows for a little bit of a value from the inside to the one, Musani. Is that, I don't even know if that's how you say the name. Musani towards the inside. This horse is by Explosive Matter out of Lady Andover. It's only one win this year, Mike, but I'll tell you what, he likes to be on the ticket. And I think that, how do you say this horse's name?
I'm going to go with how you go with that. Listen, I'm leaving all the hard work to Steve Cross.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with Musani here. I think Musani's got a big chance to hit the ticket.
All right. Race number 12, three-year-old Colton Gelding Trotters, second elimination. And Metz Hall is a horse that I've had a chance to see on a couple of occasions. Has won 5 of 8, 7-2 in the morning line. The morning line favorite is Fashion Woodchopper. The Jim Campbell trainee out of Donato Hanover gets a very good post draw there, post number 5, the winningest post. It's kind of where you want to be in a 5/8, 7/8 mile track. What do you think about this one, Mr. Carter?
I really thought the one was Muscle Hill for 2 seconds when I looked at the name Hill. Metal is actually an interesting player. Has won 5 of 8 this season, a little over 125,000. 7-2 on the morning line, Mike. I think Metal has got a really big shot against this group at a pretty decent price.
All right, race 13, as we wrap this thing up, three-year-old Colton Gelding, Pacers in the first of two eliminations. Boogie Shuffle is a horse that I had a chance to see here a couple of days ago, Mike, and he was facing tougher, went down to defeat, lost by not too much after being used early in that mile. But you've got the likes of Western Hill down by the seaside, of course, obviously, with Me So Fast. Very, very interesting here. Our good friend down by the seaside is out in Post-Date. What do you think about him trying to get back into form?
You know, down by the seaside's really trying to rebound, and I think the Breeders' Crown is the perfect opportunity for him to do that at a little bit of a price. He draws into a little bit of an easier elimination. Obviously, the lone wolf in the room that's not here is Huntsville, and Huntsville really raced strongly over the Hoosier Park 7/8 Oval at the Hoosier Pacing Derby. You also have Photobomber Hanover and Ocean Colony here. I think Boogie Shuffle, though, is the one to beat, and I believe Boogie Shuffle was a couple of us in the jug was his pick. He didn't get the best trip, but I think Boogie Shuffle could show up here.
All right. Fear the Dragon, of course, is in the second and final elimination. The two superstars are Brian Brown. They draw on the separate eliminations. But Fear the Dragon, of course, is obviously needs no introduction. But I'll tell you what, Funkin' Waffles has really found his stride as of late, Mike.
Yeah, he has. And boy, I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of heart and guts to supplement a horse to the Breeders' Crown, and that's what Alan Michelle Crawford have done here. Funkin' Waffles draws post number 2 just to the inside of Fear the Dragon. I think that Corey Callahan and trainer John Bootenshane have got to be ready for this race, or else they wouldn't have put up the money, that's for sure.
All right, so those are your elimination races Friday and Saturday coming up at Hoosier Park. And, of course, we will be on the air live coverage of the Breeders' Crown coming up next Friday and next Saturday. Both will be 3-hour shows. There won't be a show Thursday, so you're really going to have to follow us on our website, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Obviously, we'll keep everybody up to date via social media of our as far as time goes, what time we're going to be on the air. I would imagine it's probably going to be somewhere around 8 o'clock, right, Mike? That's kind of safe to say?
Yeah, somewhere around those times. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun, and, it's going to be you know, the one thing about Hoosier Park is they've always been fantastic to us, and it's a great little sight from the apron, that's for sure.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, listen, we're going to see everybody coming up next Friday. We want to thank all of our guests. Special thanks to Rick Moore, Sam Widger, Marie DuPont, and Jamie McCumber for joining us. Obviously, special thanks to all of our listeners, and including my newfound friend, Mike, the Delaware State Trooper, is going to be paying you a visit coming up on Saturday. And I told him to kind of sit by and watch your speed as you come in, Mike. Maybe he'll... You can make a couple of extra bucks there. But nonetheless, certainly thanks to everybody. And you got anything else, Mike? Is your throat still hurting?
Yeah, it's still hurting, but that's all right. We'll be ready for next week, that's for sure. We'll see everybody next week. First post is to be announced Friday and Saturday night. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know.